Okay.
Okay.
I'm Anne McNamee-Keel.
And I'm Stephanie Chavera.
Oh, gosh.
What?
Hang on.
What?
Okay, we're going to leave this in. I just realized there's a white noise machine on, so I'm going to turn that off. Hang on
a second. Oh, I was like, in my house? How do you...
No, absolutely in my house. I'll be right back.
Do, do, do. Cheers.
All right, we're going to do that again.
Let's do it.
I'm Anne McNamee-Keels.
And I'm Stephanie Chavera.
And this is Lapsed,
a podcast about growing up Catholic. And this is a special Catholicism in the news. I can't even say things right now.
It's fine. We're here.
We're here. We did it. I feel like I was like, I'm the Vatican released something. So I was like, Anne, do you feel that Catholic ripple in the waters? We must meet up.
We must. It's good. I like this. I like doing our Catholicism in the news sometimes.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's usually when something big happens all over my news feed. And I'm like, well, I guess we should probably talk about this.
Must discuss.
And obviously, I'm talking about Rihanna.
Rihanna?
No, I'm not. That's not why I called
you. Okay. I was like, wait, is there something?
I thought I wanted to see your face. Okay.
Wait, what is that?
That's the Rihanna...
That's the Rihanna interview. Oh, she's dressed as a nun.
A sexy nun.
I didn't
nun.
See that.
Everyone's aghast.
How did I miss that?
This is... I was looking up... She's very
That's
sexy.
That's amazing.
It feels very Madonna-y.
Yes. I feel like all the pop stars, they have their like Catholic moment.
Yeah. So yeah, everyone's upset about it.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know how I missed that, too, because I manage our social media, and usually on the Lapsed social media, like, anything remotely Catholic comes up, so.
She loves her Catholic fashion. I feel like she showed up to the Met Gala and something. Yeah, Pontificate. This was in 2018. I can't get my – there we go.
Oh, okay. And which is – she's kind of dressed like a pope. I guess I should describe because I think we're going to put this out without video for our non-Patreon folks.
Oh, okay. Great. I love it.
If you are Patreon, then you're seeing this. But if not, this was a Met Gala. It's Rihanna dressed in kind of like a pope gown almost. The hat really tips it over the edge. It's a pope
hat. I mean, yeah, you would not know it was really popey until – like until that shape is just like – That's a pope.
Yes, that's a pope hat.
Yeah.
It's so specific.
It really is. I don't even know what you called that shape.
I don't know. It's like pointy on top and then. Mm-hmm. And the other image that I was reacting to previous, Rihanna was dressed as like a sexy nun on the cover of a magazine.
Yeah. People who take that stuff personally are taking it really personally.
Does Rihanna have any connection to Catholicism?
That I know of.
I wonder if she went. I mean, a lot of people went to Catholic school. I feel like sometimes that happens where it's like, well.
Let's see. I'm looking through here. Obviously, they call it unholy and disrespectful. Says she's mocking Christianity. And that's what the haters are saying.
Of course.
The cover story is titled, Rihanna is Ready to Confess. So I guess that's why. I don't know.
So, yeah, she's like a racy nun. She's like in a habit, but then her shoulders are exposed and she's wearing lots of makeup.
The people who are mad about this, do you think they've ever seen Halloween before? Like the holiday, not the movie? I feel like there are sexy nuns every
– Yeah.
Every – like what?
Everywhere.
This is not a new – I mean, I guess she's Rihanna. I don't know.
Yeah. I posted a video to our social media around Halloween because I went to the Halloween store and the quote unquote religion section, it was titled religion. And it was like just Catholic stuff. It was just dressing up as a priest or a monk or a nun.
Everyone just wants you to click on their website. And if you like are mad at Rihanna, people are like us are going to click on your website.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything about her being raised Catholic or anything. So if anyone knows, tell us.
Right. I should ask my high school students because they know everything about Rihanna.
Ask them. They might know.
I'm still mad at Rihanna for being pregnant when I was pregnant because she made me look real bad. My students were all like, why are you wearing that like weird maternity dress. And I was like, I cannot wear a bra and low-cut jeans like Rihanna does to teach you at school. Also, no. I can't. But like –
Right.
Like, I could not physically feel comfortable in that. But
no. Well, you know, celebrities have things like lots of money and stylists. Yes. And
but I, she, yeah, my high school students would not let up with the comparisons between the two of us while I was pregnant.
Jeez,
not
Louise.
Not kind.
Come on, kids. I had a student once when I was my first pregnancy, a student tell me, she was like, I don't want to get all up in your business, but some kids here are saying you're pregnant. So I just want to know if that's true. And I was like, it is. It is, in fact, true. And then she was like, oh, well, that's great. You look great. You're not like one of those women who gets really ugly when she's pregnant.
And I was thanks.
Like, thank
thanks.
You. I think.
Wow.
I love the honesty, though. I appreciate it. Right? So, yeah, ask, you know, your maybe your students know. I don't know.
I'll report back.
Okay. Well, I didn't know about Rihanna. So there you go. There's a bit of news I didn't know. So what's – I'll let you lead. What next would you like to discuss?
Okay. So – but the big news is the Vatican came out with a document called Dignitas Infinita, I believe is how you pronounce it. The Declaration on Human – Infinite Dignity on Human Dignity. A lot of good stuff in here. Guess I'll start with that. Talking about that every person – every single person, somehow they start with this but don't end with this, has dignity and should be treated as such. It's a lot of beautiful wording at the top about that. They have a lot of weird things about how many drafts were in here. I've read a lot of the articles about it. I've only skimmed the actual document because I have a headache for the last week and it's very hard to read this. But so like it starts off with every human person possesses an infinite dignity, inalienably grounded in his or her very being, which prevails in and beyond every circumstance, state, or situation the person may ever encounter. That's the first bit of, that's the introduction.
I like that.
And it goes on for a long time. And it's broken down into sections after a while. Biblical perspectives, why Jesus was all about dignity, how that idea has evolved. So like basically why it's religious, I suppose. That's a lot of sections. There's a whole thing about commitment to one's own freedom.
What does that mean?
The choice to express the dignity and to manifest it to the full or to obscure it depends on each person's free and responsible decision. Basically like what makes us human is like our willingness to choose to fulfill this dignity. It's a dynamic perspective on the human dignity that understands the image of God is entrusted to human freedom so that under the guidance and action of the Spirit, the person's likeness to God may grow and each person may attain their highest dignity.
That is weird. I feel like they're undermining themselves a little bit. I like starting out strong with like, we all humans have dignity, because I actually think that's a radical perspective on the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I appreciate about Catholicism.
Right.
But then to be like, well, you can undermine your own dignity. That just feels like shamey, kind of victim blamey. Okay,
we get into that. Don't you worry.
I'll tell you that I absolutely saw that this document came out and I don't know why I hadn't looked into it. I think maybe I was like, maybe we'll do an episode on that and I will look into it then. And so here we are. So I'm learning as you share.
Yeah. There. I mean, it's a dense document.
Like anything they do.
Yeah. I mean, it almost feels like when you read a legal document, you can feel them needing to cover every base, right? And it kind of always feels that way with religious documents, like they've learned from the lawyers or maybe the lawyers learned from the priests. I'm not sure who started this, but it feels very legally like, let's make sure we get every potential reading of this covered.
Yeah.
Every potential thing. Freeing the human person from negative influences in the moral and social spheres is one chapter of this or one section. Our responsibility to do, it's more about like the responsibilities of our freedoms. The drama of poverty, it comes up after that. Denying people dignity through extreme poverty and unequal distribution of wealth.
Okay. I'm with that one.
Right.
That sounds good.
War. Terrorist attacks, racial or religious persecution, and many other affronts to human dignity have become so common as to constitute a real third world war fought piecemeal. which I'm like, yes.
Feels kind of accurate for this moment.
Yep. The travail of migrants.
Okay.
Right? So that we are denying migrants dignity.
Okay. So these parts I'm on board with. And this is the stuff, like I said, I think this is the stuff, especially in high school, that I kind of gravitated toward and liked theology classes for this kind of framing.
Yeah. And there's more. I mean, it's human trafficking, sexual abuse, violence against women. Of course, sexual abuse has only one subsection, which I feel like the Catholic Church may have skimmed a little bit on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even violence against women, because if we are really looking at how our understandings of power and gender,
violence of women has three subsections, so delve into a little bit more.
Well, that's good, I guess, but again, I'm curious in terms of how the church thinks about women and if you know how that mindset can ripple out into the world.
I mean, it says, while the equal dignity of women may be recognized in words, the inequalities between women and men in some countries remain very serious.
But what about in the Catholic Church? Not just in some countries.
Right. It doesn't seem to address itself very much at all, which is...
shocking. Shocking.
Right? So shocking. Abortion. You know, it is says what you would assume.
In terms of like zygotes the size of a pea having dignity like a human person would.
Yes. Reason alone is sufficient to recognize the inviolable value of every single human life and is worth recalling St. Teresa of Calcutta's generous and courageous commitment to the defense of every person conceived. And that's how it ends.
They just like throw Mother Teresa in there. They're like, well, Mother Teresa said so.
Yeah. Then we get into surrogacy.
Oh, gosh.
My heart's already racing. I'm so mad. So the church also takes a stand against the practice of surrogacy, through which the immensely worthy child becomes a mere object. I deem deplorable the practice of so-called surrogate motherhood, which represents a grave violation of the dignity of the woman and the child based on exploitation of situations of the mother's material needs, which is just like not all of the cases.
It's not all of the cases. And it is also something you could very much say for when talking about adoption as well.
My personal bias is putting a lot of importance on this next section. But that's because I'm one of the hosts of the podcast, so I get to do this.
You get to do that. Someone else can make their own podcast.
Right. First and foremost, the practice of surrogacy violates the dignity of the child. Indeed, every child possesses an intangible dignity that is clearly expressed at every stage of his or her life, from the moment of conception, at birth, growing up as a boy or girl, and becoming an adult. Because of this unalienable dignity, the child has the right to have a fully human and not artificially induced origin, and to receive the gift of a life that manifests both the dignity of the giver and that of the receiver. Moreover, acknowledging the dignity of the human person also entails recognizing every dimension of the dignity of the conjugal union and of human procreation. Considering this legitimate desire to have a child cannot be transformed into a right to a child that fails to respect the dignity of that child as the recipient of the gift of life. Okay, so we're going to get into more stuff because they're not just talking about surrogacy. That's also like...
No, that includes IVF.
IVF and also IUI. It's like a bunch of fertility treatments, right? And personally, like we had to have like assistance in conceiving Xavier. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I think this is my moment where I am like, I don't think I'm going back to a Catholic church. Mm. The idea that... anybody want to come in my house and you want to tell me my son doesn't have dignity because of how we got him? I can't with that. I just can't. I'm done. No. I'm really, really mad.
Yeah.
I mean, you cannot meet my son and tell me that his life is I don't even know what you're trying to tell me. He doesn't have inherent dignity now because of that, or I don't have dignity now. Like I decided against that by going through this procedure. Also, let it be noted that there is nothing here about the fathers in this situation. Mm-hmm. There is nothing about the dignity of the fathers and what choices they might be making in the situation and how it might be attended to or not. I've, like, again, we've gone through this, like, around and around. Like, I totally I am in awe of all the people that can figure out their ways to get through the church, even when they are being marginalized by it. But I just, I don't understand how. Maybe it's because it's my child more than me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think when things impact our kids, that is, for most of us, that's the biggest. We're going to defend our kids more than we would even defend ourselves, many of us.
I don't have respect for this institution right now. I just don't. And then they go on. I mean, sorry, there's so much more. But that's, I read that part. I was already angry by the headlines because we'll get into it in a moment. But like most of the headlines have been about how they are denying trans people dignity in this document about human dignity. So I was like kind of like reading it along and I was like, I'm sorry, what was that? And it like pulled the rug out from under me a little bit when I was reading it.
This is not a new technology. Like they're talking about adult people walking around. Like they're like priests. Like there are almost certainly priests who were created through IVF. Some celibate men who are really old and dumb about stuff just write some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it feels so unnecessary. Like there are actual immoral things happening in the world and actual people being hurt. And to like,
to equate this, like in your list of things, like war is dehumanizing and then IVF is dehumanizing. Like we're not having a different, like has to be in the same document. Like what the hell?
Also, is life sacred or is it not?
Only sacred if you have sex, heterosexual sex.
Except that is the exact thing that you are not allowed to do if you are extra holy in the church. So
it's not sacred.
I feel like this all comes down to people who've never had sex or never had sex within a marriage. Like they're just freaked out about sex. Remember I've talked about how like before I feel like we can get hung up on stuff. Like before I drank, I was probably 20 before I really had a drink. And I was just like so freaked out by the idea of it or like what's going to happen. And, you know, and then I did and I was like, oh, I'm just like literally sipping a wine cooler over the course of an hour. It's like actually not much. But like, I feel like if there's something that feels kind of taboo and people are kind of weird about.
Yeah.
And you haven't experienced it, then you like become an insane person in your head about it.
You fixate.
I feel like that's what's happening here. And the amount of language they need to use, this reminds me, do you ever read, what's her name? Oh gosh, hang on. I can't even think, why is my brain failing me? It's like libertarians like her, she's a...
Ayn Rand?
Yes, thank you. So I feel like this is like reading Ayn Rand. I read like one Ayn Rand book in that like her worldview doesn't make sense. And you can tell by how much she talks and doesn't make sense trying to defend it, you know? Like, I even remember, because I remember reading her as a college freshman, and I had no background, and so I was, like, actually thought maybe this was a good book, and, like, I was very open to worldviews. I remember just some paragraph, reading it over and over and being like, I don't think I understand what she's trying to say here. Like, she clearly has a point of view, or, like, this character has a set of values that this author seems to want me to agree with. But I am so confused, like, because it took 3 pages for her to even try to explain what the hell she was saying, that, like, we're actually, by not giving a shit about each other, that's actually how we care about each other, was her thesis in the end. And I was like, I just remember reading the page over and over and being like, she's using so many words, but I'm not getting what the hell she's trying to say. I feel like that's the same here. Like, they need to use so many words because their worldview doesn't make any sense. And so they just keep contradicting themselves and they just think if they keep talking, it'll make sense.
Well, that's what I thought, actually, but like one of the first things I read to you there.
It sounds like the side of a Dr. Bronner's bottle.
Yes. Yes. It just feels like very circular logic.
Yeah. It's like, it's true because I say so, and I say so because it's true. And they just keep going.
Thank you. That's the way.
Yes. No, circular logic. That's correct. And they just kind of keep doing that because it doesn't make any sense. And I feel like we run into that a lot with the Catholic Church. It's like, well, it's just because that's the way it is.
I'm like, but it doesn't help me at all. Yeah. Whew. Okay. So as we move forward, so the next section is on euthanasia and assisted suicide, which, you know, they still don't grant for people. The the right to care and treatment for all must be prioritized so that the elderly and sick are never rejected. Life is a right, not death, which must be welcomed, not administered. And this ethical principle concerns everyone, not just Christians or believers. The dignity of each person, no matter how weak or burdened by suffering, implies the dignity of us all.
But I feel like there's so... that part's frustrating because there's discussion about like death with dignity and...
Do you know Stephen Fry, the British actor?
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
My husband always quotes him or points to... He did this... I think it was an interview. Someone asked him why he was an atheist.
I was going to say, he's like a big atheist.
Big atheist, yeah. Yeah. My husband, when people ask him, he refuses to really engage in these kinds of conversations with most people. But when we talk about this stuff, when he talks about it, he points to this Stephen Fry thing. Someone asked him, like, why are you an atheist? And he's just like, just points to the cruelty of human suffering.
Yeah, I think I've seen that.
And I remember specifically he talks about like bugs getting in children's eyes and like eating them from the inside. Like this really grotesque, horrible thing that happens in very specific situations. But he's like, what God? I don't want that God. Mm-hmm. Like if that's the God, then I reject that God is basically what he says in the interview. And that's kind of what it feels like right here. It's like, it's Christian to suffer. It's good to, it's like, you can't alleviate your suffering. You're not allowed. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it says we should try to help people who are suffering, but.
It's that like offer it up mentality.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back to like, you know, Mother Teresa and the series that came out about her, that was really prevalent, both with how she treated people and how the sisters were treated. And
mm-hmm.
there's these like contradictions. There's these sort of major contradictions with Catholicism. I think we see over and over, and this is one of them. Like, I love the concept of dignity, but then also we have this fetishization of suffering, which is really problematic.
You know, we've talked about this recently at the funerals episode. It's like, why religion is good or why it's helpful is that there's all these huge unanswerable questions, right? And specifically like hundreds, thousands of years ago, it was easier because we had less specific questions, I feel like. But the longer mm-hmm. we go on with time, the more we have more questions and more specific questions. Mm-hmm. And we keep asking the same entity to answer it. And it has to contradict itself at some point. Like when you go from the broad to the specific, it will it can't be consistent. And that's why it's maddening. it proclaims to be omniscient and powerful and the mm-hmm. the voice of God, and yet can't give an answer from one thing to the other that's consistent. And it's hard to find comfort in that for me, not for others. But, you know, we talked about this too. Like, again, assisted suicide here is bad, but they just like came from a funeral last year where they're like, we understand this. People who commit suicide are ill, and this was mm-hmm. the result of an illness. And I'm like, so again, like these contradictions, like, so, but what is it though, then?
Yeah.
Because right. I feel like it can't be both.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like there's document, that first sentence I should have read, that should have been the whole document.
That would have been good. Yeah, right. They had it. They were in a good spot. Just stop while you're ahead.
All this nitty gritty stuff is where they just fall apart to me. Then the marginalization of people with disabilities. We would agree with this section.
Mm-hmm.
Don't marginalize people with disabilities.
Great. Yes. We're here for that.
Great. And then the two topics that are on most of the headlines, which is gender theory and sex change.
That's the terminology you use.
Those are the two words. Yes. I mean, this is probably translated from... I'm sure they had an English version of this. I would bet mm-hmm. it was probably like mm-hmm. in Italian, Latin, and English, and maybe Spanish. But the church wishes, first of all, to reaffirm that every person, regardless of sexual orientation, ought to be respected in his or her dignity, treated with consideration, and any form of aggression or violence should be carefully avoided. And for this reason, it should be denounced as contrary to human dignity, the fact that in some places... people are imprisoned, tortured, and even deprived of the good of life solely because of their sexual orientation, right? And then these instances of ideological colonization, there's that phrase again, in which gender theory plays a central role. The latter is extremely dangerous since it cancels differences in its claim to make everyone equal. So again, they talk about one of the best things we are given is our differences, the fact that men and women are different. This is like a big thing. That we should keep them different, and it's good that they are different.
I know people talk about this as like a straw man, but legitimately, that is an erasure of intersex people.
Yeah.
Who, as I would like to remind people again, being intersex is as common as having red hair. I think about that a lot as a redhead. That sounds stupid, but like...
I get it, though.
It's this just chance of genetics, and it is not something I really have to think about because redheads are not discriminated against. But yeah, it's that common. So even just to say like differences are good, that is already marginalizing a good number of people on the planet.
And it talks about, okay, so we cannot separate the masculine and the feminine from God's work of creation, which is prior to all our decisions and experiences and where biological elements exist, which are impossible to ignore. Okay, so he doesn't talk about penises and vaginas. Masculine and feminine aren't God's, they're not constructs from God. They're specific performances in different cultures.
Right, yes. Jesus never wore pants.
Yeah, long hair. I'm telling you, at the local Easter, like, display thing here, it was the gayest Jesus. I wanted to like do a whole thing with you. I forgot to send you the picture. It was the Jesus. I mean, you could tell it was a female mannequin in the Jesus thing, and it was like the flowiest. Other time, this is the gayest thing I've ever seen. But just, I mean, just super, super femme. But yeah, masculine and feminine. I don't know. I just feel like they don't even know their terminology here.
Yeah.
True. Like,
because they don't believe in gender theory, so they haven't read any.
But yeah, because if they're like, which masculine are you talking about? Like, are you talking about like boys can't be ballet dancers? Like,
is that the masculinity? Are we talking about, yeah, no, you can like look at, frankly, you can look at majority Catholic cultures around the world. And I know like Christianity brought in a lot of very specific like Eurocentric ideas about gender. So yeah, that exists. But still, you can look at different Catholic countries around the world, and masculinity looks like something very different, and femininity.
And because they separate this between gender theory and sex change, I have to think that the gender theory is literally just the performance of your gender, not being trans. That's, and I think we get into that with their sex change.
So should all men wear dresses like priests do? Should we all be wearing fancy... We should all just dress like Rihanna in that image. I feel like then we'd all be...
Yeah.
Was that masculine or feminine? Because she's wearing a Pope hat. Was she cross-dressing? She looked pretty feminine to me. But I bet you could find something similar in one of the fancy priest stores at the Vatican.
That hot priest calendar. They're all in dresses and they're hotter than Rihanna. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it. But like...
Depends on how you ask, I'm sure.
It's...
Okay. So they're saying that gender is, I mean, yeah, just looking at the history, I bet Jesus and his disciples' versions of masculinity was real different than what would be considered masculine now. Was Jesus even very masculine? He wasn't married. He didn't, like, do hard labor. I feel like...
I'm like Anna's gonna come up with the answer.
I'm gonna have the answer. I don't. They don't make any sense, but they won't engage in gender theory. They just say they won't. And so whatever the Catholic church leaders think is true about gender, I guess that's the truth.
I don't know why there is a need to reaffirm masculine and feminine gender roles. And again, it's not like the Pope doesn't have influence or like this gives power and ammunition to people who want to be mean. And I don't understand why these people aren't getting called out in this document.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are all the people who are using this to deprive people of people? Like, where is the section?
Of dignity. Yeah.
Yeah. Do the people that are making people feel less than for not being masculine or feminine enough in their own right. Like, where's the section on those people in here? Like, not like denying people dignity. Like, I keep saying at the beginning, like, we shouldn't inflict violence, but
it is violent to tell your trans kid that they can't dress the way they want to dress. That's violent.
It is.
And if you are a devout Catholic reading this as the closest thing you can get to a message from God, which is what mm-hmm. people believe, then that is violent to say something like that mm-hmm. because it will impact the way children are treated by their parents, yeah. by their teachers, for sure. Yeah, that is violence. Yeah, what's frustrating to, I don't know, we follow Father James Martin, who is like mm-hmm. a real advocate for the LGBTQ community, mm-hmm. especially within Catholicism. I think you have to do this as a Catholic with certain values. He just kind of has a way of, for the most part, I feel like he tries to highlight the positive. And that yeah. is great, I guess. He's met with the Pope. The Pope has welcomed him to, you know, conversations. But some of this stuff is really damaging. And, like, we don't have to put up with it. Like, you don't have to put up with being tolerated.
Right. And it just feels like being a position of privilege to be able to just look at the good stuff. That is a really privileged place to be in, to be able to get to pick and choose.
Yeah. A place of privilege and or a place of, like, maybe a little bit of self-loathing, like not believing that you're worthy of yeah. anything better than that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not to judge queer folks who are Catholic. That's not what I'm trying to do. Like I said, I think there are people who, like children, for instance, who really have no, have yeah. very little agency when it comes to this stuff.
I mean, some people have such strong faith that this kind of document doesn't, I mean, it might shake them, but they can like persist through it.
Yeah. They just think, well, this is a long game and it's going to.
They really, really believe in the Catholic Church. And I don't know if I admire, I guess I admire it. I find it's hard for me. I guess my question is like, is your faith in the church or is it your faith in God? And why does the church have to be involved in it? And why? I guess this would be my like thesis mm-hmm. question going into learning more about it. I want everyone to be included. I don't want it to be a religion of exclusivity. I don't want everyone to leave. And the only way to become inclusive is for people to persist.
Yeah, right. I mean, I say all that about Father James Martin. At the same time, he's like really doing the work more than, yeah. you know, he's like one of the most vocal advocates of LGBTQ folks in the church. And he is yeah. a priest, so that gives him some power. And yeah. he's spoken with the Pope and has a platform, and I admire a lot of that. So yeah, I don't, like you said, if people just leave, then the church just becomes more and more exclusive.
Have you heard about all these counties in Oregon that are trying to leave Oregon to become part of Idaho because they want to be with a conservative state, not a liberal state?
No, I have not.
It's on NPR like the other morning. I've been thinking about it kind of nonstop because the question that the NPR reporter was sort of posing to everybody was like, is it better to only be in agreement, right? Like, would everybody actually just be happier if like if your whole state was like, you lived in one of the liberal ones and you lived in one of the conservative ones and you could all decide on something together and be less filled with rage all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Or what is damaging about doing that? And like, shouldn't we all try to figure out some way to have conversation and work through? But it does feel so impossible right now.
It does. It feels very hard.
My first reaction to that story was like, oh, what? You can't just pick and choose, blah, blah. Like, and then I was thinking about it. I was like, that's kind of what everyone really wants. Like, no one wants a middle ground. It feels like no one's looking for a middle ground. It doesn't feel that way. And I guess I'm feeling that way about the church when we're listening, about this document. It's like, do you stay at it even if you disagree with it? Or do you only go somewhere and find something that totally agrees with you? Mm-hmm. I guess is the philosophical thing that's hurting, contributing to my headache at the moment.
Yeah. Well, with religion in particular, because if your goal is to encounter divinity or, you know, whatever, however you think about it, I think a lot of people want religion to be a place where they can like recharge, like kind of connect with something greater than themselves. It's like, I'm like actually imagining like plugging in, you know, like charging my phone. Like you're actually mm-hmm. trying to plug into something that's going to energize you. And we talked about this, I think, with communion, that like some Catholics who really are devout, that is part of what they see as communion. They actually see it as something that like fuels them for the week.
Yeah.
Because they believe that God is actually present in it and there's something divine that they are consuming and it's sort of like fuel.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. So yeah, but I think it is a challenge to be like, I'm going to go to this place where literally I feel like I'm on empty and this is going to refuel me. But like, I have to deal with Bob over here who hates my gay relative. I don't want that.
I know.
Like, I'm not here for that. That will interrupt my refueling process. I don't know.
I know. I don't have the answer. I have a lot of questions. I feel like I need to talk with a priest. I need to go and yell at a priest for a little while. Like, I need to have I need to call my dad's friend, Father Bob. I'm like, can I just like yell at you for a second about this whole Pope thing? And we can like chat about it after I yell at you for a little bit.
If you do that, please report back.
I will. Going back to what I was saying, I was like, I can't imagine getting a chance to like, let's say I met the Pope and I was like, and here's my son. You said he has no dignity and I lost mine because I chose to have him this way. Like, I don't feel like he'd follow through with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, it's like, why are we doing this? Like, why this document?
Yeah.
So to finish up here, sex change is wrong. Creation is prior to us. We must receive it as a gift. It follows that any sex change intervention as a rule risks threatening the unique dignity the person has received from the moment of conception. This is not to exclude the possibility that a person with genital abnormalities that are already evident at birth.
Oh, okay. They are talking about this.
Or that develop later may choose to receive the assistance of healthcare professionals to resolve these abnormalities. Oh.
So they do talk about intersex people. Okay.
However, in this case, such a medical procedure would not constitute a sex change in the sense intended here.
Okay. If we're putting a lot of things aside, like the term sex change, which is super reductive and like no one's talked like that since the 80s, we don't understand the science of sex and gender still. We don't understand the human brain. And in fact, I mean, from a couple things I've read, my understanding is that in fact, there are like, they do find physiological differences. Because typically male and typically female are kind of a spectrum already biologically in terms of like what's the correct amount of estrogen you're supposed to have versus testosterone, right? Like those are all – that graph is like
– That's why the Olympics are a hot mess now.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. So we already don't have like specific medically defined terms about a lot of this stuff. Because it's not just all about genitalia. There's people who, you know, there's women who go their whole lives and then learn that they had XY chromosomes and they never have a period because they don't have internal stuff. Like, there's all kinds of things. But, like, my understanding from like, early research they're doing is that there are brain and hormone differences even in trans people. Like, if someone is trans, there are markers biologically before they even undergo any kind of transition that point to them being trans before, you know, brain differences and hormone differences. Ugh, this is stupid. This is stupid. And
I mean, yeah, it just, for me, I mean, I feel like I've said this, I feel like a broken record, but I feel like if you believe in God, then you should believe that that's who's in charge of what happens after you die, or at least some sort of Saint Peter Paul, like representative, I can't remember who's at the gates, it's Peter. Right? There should be like, there's somebody at the gate who gets to decide. Someone holy, something. And it's not Bishop O'Flaherty or whatever. Like, and your job on earth is just be nice.
Just love people.
Why do we need to say you have dignity except like love people and then like, not your job, not your business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was a lovely moment in, what was this called? There was a reality show about, I brought it up a while ago. There was a reality show about young women discerning whether to be religious sisters.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to see that.
It was like a little bit, I have a lot of raised eyebrows about it. I think several of them already were actually discerning being religious sisters. I think some of them, well, I know some of them. I read that they were like found by a casting director and then they were sort of like, well, maybe this is my call to be a nun because I was called by this casting director or whatever.
Oh.
None of them ended up becoming sisters and it doesn't matter. This series came out years ago, but I remember there was this scene There was one of the young women, like, twerking was, like, newly a thing. Or newly, I would say, like, in, like, sort of popular culture. Because twerking is, like, that's been, it's, like, a drag queen kind of thing that's been around for a while.
Right.
So kind of newly in pop culture. And the girls, it was, like, a cute scene. They're, like, they're, like, staying up with some sisters. And they, like, sneak into one bedroom that night to, like, hang out together and talk about their day or whatever. And the cameras are there. And one of the girls was, like, I'm saying girls because they were pretty young. They're like early 20s. They're like, oh, have you heard about this thing twerking? And they're playing music and she demonstrates twerking. And a couple of them are laughing. But this one young woman who was taking the process probably the most seriously seemed very like upset. And she was like, would you do that in front of the sisters? And then she said, would you do that in front of Jesus? To which both the other girl was like, no, of course I wouldn't.
Yeah.
So she goes and brings this up to one of the sisters later. But in this very, like, I just am really concerned for her soul because she's just a really beautiful young woman and she's degrading herself. And the sister pretty quickly is just like, that's actually not our place to judge someone else's behavior like that.
Oh.
Like, I think you should pray and have a conversation with Jesus and don't worry yourself with that. That's not our role. I was like, yeah.
That's it.
I'm with you, sister. It was actually really lovely. The sisters that they meet do come out looking very great. All the nuns, or I guess there's religious sisters on the show, I'm like, they do actually seem cool. They were very sweet.
Nice.
But I think about that scene a lot because I feel like it was this clash between some, like, because the younger woman was like a very into Catholicism. I mean, very active, practicing young Catholic and sort of talking to this older, wiser religious sister who's like, that's actually not how this thing works, which I feel like is the part of the church that I appreciate. And that was a message that was there. That's like that first sentence, like you said, like everyone has dignity, like that's where that's coming from,
full stop.
But the rest of this document feels like this young, you know, 20 something kind of religious zealot,
right? I'm worried. Yeah,
worried about her soul. Like, oh, does she have less dignity now because she just did that dance?
That's between her and God.
Yeah. Well, does it talk about gay people too?
That was no.
Probably.
Not no, those were that was the end of the sections. Digital violence.
Okay.
How technology is great but making people prone to violence and exploitation. There's not a section about it.
Interesting.
So one thing I read, I think it was on Vox. Not because there's like no like gay people may not be have dignity, which that has nothing to say about that. Just as long as you're masculine, I guess, still.
Maybe they're like, they'll read between the lines.
Right. That some of this was like maybe a bone that was thrown to the conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
So like, again, when you go into the gender theory section, let me go back to that. In the male-female couple, this difference achieves the most marvelous of reciprocities. Mm. It thus becomes the source of that miracle that never ceases to surprise us, the arrival of new human beings in the world. Boys and girls having sex, I guess. It's like the greatest possible difference that exists between us, sexual difference.
That's so weird. That's like I said, it's like people who've never had sex talking about sex and the weird stuff that's going to they're going to come up with.
So it doesn't say anything about being gay. It just...
But it's really into straight sex.
The glorious thing about being human is being in a couple with somebody who's different than you. And that can only be achieved in a heterosexual relationship, apparently.
Catholic Church is like, don't have sex. Except if you're married to someone of the opposite sex. In which case you should definitely have sex. But the sex must be unprotected. Because babies are really good. Except... Don't try to have a baby to the point where you're doing something outside of male-female sex, because then that's actually bad.
Yep.
Is that that's the logic?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
As far as I can tell.
Okay. Okay, mm-hmm. Catholic Church. I mean, it's just more of the same. It is.
Yeah. It's like steps forward, steps backward. I mean, some of this, I'm like, we really had to have a document to say, like, people who are human trafficked should have dignity. Like, we couldn't just know that.
Guess not.
Trade in people is a vile activity, a disgrace to our societies that claim to be civilizers. There's a lot of exclamation points in this section. Exploiters and clients at all levels should make a serious examination of conscience, both in the first person and before God. Sexual exploitation, slave labor, including prostitution, drug and weapons trade, terrorism, and international organized crime are things that the church and all of humanity must not cease fighting against. I agree.
And also, like, aren't queer folks, like, at a higher risk of being sexually trafficked? And part of the reason for that is the, you know, the
dehumanization and marginalization.
Yeah. We just told them every human has dignity, except now we're kind of saying they are a little less worthy of dignity, so a little more okay to traffic them. I mean, that is the, they're doing that. It's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so this was the big Catholic news.
That's the big Catholic news.
I mean, this took a long time to come out. Again, like I told you to come at the beginning, it's like, it started in 2019, following this on February 2023, on February 2024, and we are finally putting together the final blah, blah, blah. So hopefully we won't have another document like this for a while that we have to talk about. But
hopefully not.
I'm sure they'll do something else that will make me go like, and we need to record something.
You know, we needed this because the last episode you were almost kind of like appreciating
soft.
Catholicism. So something
soft
kind of
I'm a pendulum. Yeah.
You were like, pendulum. Oh, look at this. It's so lovely. And so they had to throw something at you that was really just
to get me back
awful.
Back in my place.
Well, before we leave, I can close this out with did you see this thing about Sydney Sweeney's grandmas playing nuns in the horror movie that she's in?
What?
You know, Sydney Sweeney, there's this horror movie coming out. I don't know. Has it come out yet? I'm not a horror movie person.
I can't watch horror. No.
Okay. No. So maybe someone needs to watch it and report back. Listeners, we're not joking. Please watch and report back because
I'm not watching it.
We won't be watching. I'm not a horror movie gal. Oh, God. Sydney Sweeney's 26. I mean, that makes sense, but she's so young. Okay.
Is she the one that's like popular because she's like the new rom-com queen person?
She is here. You should Google her. She's like very much like a sex symbol right now.
Oh, she is the person. Yeah.
She was in White Lotus. She's in, I know she was in Euphoria, which I didn't watch at all. And I'm not even sure what it's about. Like that's the level to which I don't know what that show is.
Oh, okay.
She was in White Lotus. I saw her in that.
Anyone but you. That's like the big rom-com. They're like, it's going to revitalize rom-coms. That's all I know.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. That is coming out. What else was she was actually in Handmaid's Tale and like none of us knew who she was yet. So we are all just collectively realizing that was her.
Okay.
Anyway, she plays, there's this movie, Immaculate. It's a horror movie. She plays a nun. I feel like there. I got some other trailer pop up for another horror nun movie too. I feel like horror nun movies are having a moment.
Okay.
Catholicism is always good for horror, you know.
Yeah.
It's just that vibe. There's all the death stuff and then the nun stuff is interesting because any tension with like women and sex is always interesting to people, like women who aren't supposed to have sex, automatically interesting if they're hot, like Sydney Sweeney. Mm-hmm. But there's this picture of her with her grandmothers on the red carpet for the premiere of the movie, and apparently her grandmas were extras and played like nun extras in the background of the movie, which is
what
I actually think it's kind of cute. Like bring your grandma to work day.
That's funny.
And it looks like she was raised Catholic, Sydney Sweeney, but not, sounds like maybe like nominally Catholic, like
culturally, you
know. Yes, probably got baptized and stuff, but doesn't sound like it was a huge part of her family's life.
Okay.
And her grandmas look very glamorous and amazing on the red carpet. There's
wow.
I don't know. Actually, did you look it up? Did you Google this?
I'm looking it up now. Okay. Like, I was just looking up Catholic. It's coming up with all sorts. Oh, okay. Yeah. Who knows?
Her grandma's sparkly. One of them's in like all these sparkly black with like cutouts dress, which is just like really gorgeous. The other one is also looks really beautiful in this black lace.
Her dress is creepy as hell.
Yeah. So it's like a... It's like a sculpture of flowers over her boobs and then like
hands grabbing her. Oh, I hate that dress so much.
Honestly, the creepiest thing about the hands is that like, it looks like human hands, but then once you get to the wrists, it just looks weird and like,
yeah,
snake-like or something, you know? Like, if they're going to have something that looks like human hands, I also want human wrists. That's what I want. Mm-hmm. That's what is weird for me. I mean, wearing a hand sculpture is weird already.
Bless her grandparents. If I ever wore that dress next to my grandmother would have not let me wear that dress.
I remember my grandma, you know, she had her moments. My grandma, Marcy, I remember my grandma saw one of my friends in high school. Like we was like at my house, we were having a party or something, and my friends were there. And my grandma said, oh, I saw the picture of you at senior dance or whatever. And my friend was like, oh, yeah. And she was like, that dress was pretty sexy. That's what she said. I don't know. I was like, is that? I feel like maybe she was disapproving, but maybe she was like, you know what, go for it. I don't know. I couldn't really tell the vibe. It was not what anyone was expecting her to say, but
I love it.
Grandma will surprise you.
You never know.
You really don't know.
All right. Well, for those of you on Patreon, you got to watch my hair dry over the course of
mine
this hour.
Literally just dried, like right
it's
before
not,
this.
It's going to take another hour.
That's the thing about curly hair. Do you use a diffuser ever? Do you do a diffuser? Oh. You know what? I've started diffusing regularly. Like, just this is curly hair.
No, we should always have curly hair tips at the end of every episode.
That's another common interest we have. I just diffuse a little, kind of right in the middle of the drying process. Just like, it's dried for a little while. I like do things around the house, and then I'll quickly diffuse it a little, and then I'll go on with my life. I don't know, something about it. It speeds it up
speeds it up the teeniest
bit in a way that is helpful when you're trying to live your life.
Nice. No, I'm always like beholden to like the 5-hour curly hair drying process.
We gotta go back to those hoods.
I know.
So much of my childhood was just, and now that I think about it, it was just like old Catholic ladies with their dryer hoods over their heads.
I love it.
It's a lot every week with grandma. That's what we did. Those are all old Catholic ladies. Probably all had their rosaries in their purse. And also
I get so sleepy in those things.
Oh, yeah. They are nice. I've thought of getting one sitting under my dryer hood.
I'd take a good nap in there. Probably start a fire.
Maybe dangerous if you're gonna fall asleep. Don't fall asleep under your dryer hood.
Okay. Yeah. It's our PSA.
It's our PSA. Do we have? Oh, I guess we should have a donation page
for Patreons. No, I don't know. But Palestine Children's Relief Fund.
Yeah, let's do that one. Have we done that one before?
I feel like we maybe have, but
do it again.
I mean, World Central Kitchen, but I'm sure they're getting a lot of donations right now.
Oh, gosh. We've done World Central Kitchen, actually.
A few times,
show.
I think.
Yeah.
They keep doing good work.
These are the things that I know the Pope is talking about Palestine, and I appreciate that. But also, I just feel like if you are putting any energy toward just being like, oh, also you shouldn't be trans. Like, what are we doing? Like, what? Do you see what's going on in the world? Like, there's actual, this is what I was saying, like, there's actual things, actual serious things out there. Mm-hmm. All right. Yes. Yeah, so go donate there. And that's Patreon, folks. Hope you enjoyed this.
Yeah. And if it's not Patreon, please join our Patreon because you'll get to see our hair dry in real time.
If you would like to see Steph's hair dry, I'm impressed with, I didn't even notice that you had wet hair or anything. You just look fresh as a daisy.
That's the good benefit of having like almost black hair.
That helps too.
It doesn't change color.
All right. Well, Steph and listeners and viewers, and also with you.
Also with you.